Welcome to another deep dive. This time, we're headed to New Zealand, diving into the world of Olmec Sinclair and his project, Block Hill.
You guys sent in a ton of stuff on this one. Articles, a website, even an audio clip. Someone's curious.
Definitely piqued our interest. So, get ready, because we're about to unpack it all. Who is Olmec Sinclair? What's Block Hill all about? And what's with all the cool sustainable living techniques he's using over there?
We're going to uncover how Olmec blends his tech background with this passion for sustainable living. It's seriously fascinating stuff.
Right. You think tech, you picture someone glued to a screen, not knee-deep in a garden. So, who is this tech-savvy nature enthusiast? Well, our sources tell us he grew up on an off-grid organic farm right there in New Zealand.
Talk about formative experiences. And get this, he goes on to study software engineering, web development, the whole nine yards. But that connection to nature, it never went away.
Like a seed that was planted early on and just kept growing.
Totally. He even spent years in the city, worked in the startup world, but something kept pulling him back to that simpler life.
Speaking of simpler lives, Did you know he's actually named after the Olmec civilization? You know, the ancient Mesoamerican culture.
Wait, seriously, I totally missed that. It's like he was destined for this path.
Right. And this wasn't some impulsive decision either. He and his wife, Melissa, spent 4 years searching for the perfect spot before they found Block Hill.
4 years? Wow, talk about dedication. Where is Block Hill exactly?
It's a 2-hectare property nestled in North Canterbury, New Zealand. But it wasn't all sunshine and roses when they got there.
Oh, yeah. What was it like when you first got there? I'm picturing, like, lush forests and waterfalls.
Not quite. It was more like a blank canvas.
Yeah.
Think grassy area, a few fruit trees scattered around, you know, pretty bare bones.
So how do you transform that into, well, whatever Block Hill is today?
That's the amazing part. Over just a decade, he's turned it into a full-blown food forest.
A decade? Seriously? That's incredible.
Goes to show you what a little guidance and a lot of dedication can do for nature. But let's dig into how he actually did it. Permaculture is at the heart of Block Hill.
Okay, so permaculture. For those who don't know, it's all about working with nature to create sustainable systems. What techniques are we talking about here?
We're talking next level stuff. Like contour swales, for starters.
Contour swales.
Yeah. So North Canterbury, they get some pretty unpredictable rainfall, right? Well, instead of letting that rainwater just run off, he's using the land's natural contours to capture it.
I see where you're going with this. It's like he's hacking the landscape to create a self-watering system.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know what else plays a part in that system?
Hit me with it.
Hugelkultur.
Hugel, what? That sounds kind of intimidating.
It's actually pretty cool. Once you wrap your head around it, imagine raised garden beds, right? But instead of just building them up with soil, he uses decaying wood as the foundation.
Okay, so he's burying wood. What's the point of that?
It's all about that slow decomposition, right?
Yeah.
As the wood breaks down, it acts like this giant sponge, soaking up all that rainwater from the swales and releasing it slowly to the plant.
So it's self-watering, A&D, self-fertilizing.
This guy's a genius and low maintenance.
Yeah.
Which is key when you're managing a whole food forest, right? But hold on, because he doesn't stop there. We got to talk about the animals.
Oh, yeah. The pigs, the ducks, the chickens. He's got the whole farmyard crew.
And it's not just for show. They all have a specific purpose, just like in a natural ecosystem. The pigs, they're like nature's tillers.
Right, turning over the soil, fertilizing it as they go. Though I could do without stepping in those fertilizers by accident.
Yeah, definitely don't want to find yourself on the wrong end of a pig's dead enthusiasm.
But speaking of the animals, the ducks, they're the pest control specialists.
Ah, makes sense. Gobble up those slugs and other garden pests, plus fresh duck eggs.
Exactly. But it gets even cooler. He's designed the system so that the duck pond overflows into the contour swales.
Wait, so even the duck pond is part of the water management system. This is next level permaculture.
Told ya. It's all connected. But here's a fun fact for you. Remember the pigs we were talking about?
How can I forget?
Well, after Olmec got them, he noticed something interesting. He stopped losing chickens to predators. No way. You're telling me the pigs are guarding the chickens? I never would have guessed those two species were such good friends.
It's amazing what you can learn by observing how everything's interconnected in nature, right?
Absolutely. And speaking of connections, we have to talk about Olmec's background in tech.
Right. It's not every day you meet a software engineer who's also a permaculture expert. How do those two worlds even collide?
And that's what makes his story so fascinating, right? It's this unexpected intersection.
Yeah, I have to admit, I'm struggling to see the connection here. Computers and composting.
Yeah.
It just seems like such a stretch.
Well, think about it. In his IT work, Olmec, He specialized in designing and building those complex systems for businesses, managing databases, using technology to solve problems.
But those are digital systems, right?
Yeah.
How does that translate to, well, anything we've talked about with Block Hill?
Because it's all about systems thinking. Those digital systems he was building, they involve intricate networks, interconnected elements. Sound familiar?
You're right. It's like he took those same principles he used in the digital world and applied them to the natural world.
Exactly. And just like he had to learn new technologies, programming languages, and IT, he had to learn the language of nature.
The needs of the plants, the soil, the water. It's a whole different kind of system.
Exactly. And honestly, it's impressive how he's been able to bridge those two worlds.
Like all that time spent in the digital world actually prepared him for this.
It really makes you wonder what other hidden connections are out there, you know, between fields that seem totally unrelated.
Right. It's like he's proving that specialization isn't the only path to success. Sometimes it's about drawing from all sorts of experiences, no matter how different they seem.
Absolutely. But let's dive into life at Block Hill itself. It can't be all swales and hugel culture, right? What's it actually like living there?
Yeah, paint us a picture of daily life. Is it like living in a time capsule?
Yeah.
No internet, no contact with the outside world.
Not quite. They're definitely not hermits. They've got internet access, for one.
Okay, so they're not completely off the grid?
Nope. They even list a guest cottage on Airbnb. And Melissa, she writes children's books.
Wow. So they found this balance between self-sufficiency and staying connected. That's really cool, but what about their actual diet? With a garden like that, they must eat like royalty.
Think garden to table on a whole other level.
Right.
I read in one article that Melissa said they only bought one bag of carrots last year because she had a craving.
One bag of carrots for a whole year. That's wild.
Right. So, yeah, a lot of their diet comes straight from the garden, and whatever they can't eat fresh, they preserve.
Smart. So lots of freezing and canning and all that.
Oh, yeah. They're big on freezing and stewing fruit, especially. And because they focus on those perennial plants, you know, asparagus, rhubarb, fruit trees, they've got fresh food coming in for a good chunk of the year.
Sounds amazing, but it couldn't have been easy getting to this point. I mean, leaving that comfortable city life behind to embrace something completely different, there had to be challenges.
Definitely. It wasn't all smooth sailing. Olmec is pretty upfront about that in the sources we looked at.
Yeah, it's a huge lifestyle change. Did he ever talk about those early days at Block Hill?
He did. He mentioned his travels actually before returning to New Zealand. He spent some time in Australia and Southeast Asia. Seems like those experiences really shaped his perspective.
It's amazing how travel can do that, right? Open your eyes to different ways of life.
Totally. He was exposed to all these different values, different ways of living, and it seems like that's what really solidified his desire for a simpler, more intentional way of being.
It's so easy to get caught up in the rat race, always striving for more, you know?
Absolutely. But his travels seem to give him this fresh perspective, a deeper appreciation for those simpler things in life.
Did he talk about what it was like coming back to New Zealand after those experiences?
He did. He talked about this renewed sense of gratitude, especially for the natural beauty and the resources that a lot of people take for granted.
It's like you need that contrast sometimes to really appreciate what you have.
Right. But he also came back with this growing concern for the environmental challenges facing the world.
And that's where Block Hill comes in. It's not just about escaping to the countryside, it's about taking action. Actively creating a life that aligns with his values.
Exactly, a life that's both fulfilling and sustainable, but it takes a lot of courage to make that kind of leap, you know, to go against the grain like that.
Totally. It would have been so easy to stick with the familiar, to prioritize comfort and convenience. But he and Melissa, they chose a different path.
And that's what makes their story so inspiring. They didn't just talk about making a change, they actually did it.
They put their money where their mouth is,
Yep.
took that leap of faith, and created a life that truly reflects who they are.
And let's not forget, they did it together. This wasn't just Olmec's vision, it was a shared dream.
Right. Their partnership is such a key part of their story. They have this shared commitment that really shines through in everything they do.
It just goes to show you, having that support system, those people who share your values, it can make all the difference. It really is. Having that tribe in your corner makes all the difference when you're trying to create a life that's outside the norm.
Right. Because let's face it, building a sustainable life, it's not just about the practical stuff like composting or solar panels. It's also about cultivating those human connections, those support systems that keep us going.
Absolutely. And it's about being willing to challenge those assumptions we have. You know, that whole city versus country thing, Olmec really throws a wrench in that narrative.
Because he's not rejecting technology, right?
Yeah.
Or the skills he learned in that world.
Exactly. He's taking all those experiences, those different parts of himself, and integrating them into a life that prioritizes nature, community. It's pretty amazing.
He's showing us that we don't have to choose one or the other. We can find that harmony, that balance.
Yeah.
But I'm curious about something. We've talked a lot about his off-grid setup, but he still works in IT, mm-hmm. right? How does that work?
It's a great question. And it gets to the heart of why his story resonates with so many people, especially those of us who aren't quite ready to pack it all in and head for the hills.
Because not all of us can or want to live completely off the grid. But that doesn't mean we can't learn from people like Olmec.
Exactly. His story reminds us that sustainability isn't this all-or-nothing thing. It's not about achieving some picture-perfect ideal of eco-living. It's about making conscious choices in our everyday lives, no matter where we live, what we do.
Right. It's those small, incremental changes that add up over time.
Yeah.
Like choosing locally sourced food when you can, supporting businesses that align with your values.
Exactly. And being open to learning, wherever that learning comes from. Olmec didn't have some fancy degree in permaculture. He learned by doing, by observing, by pulling from all these different areas of his life.
He took those problem-solving skills he honed in the tech world and applied them to nature. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? Could our tech-driven lives actually be a training ground for something more, something deeper?
That's the question Olmec's story begs us to ask, right? Could it be that the more immersed we become in technology, the more we realize we need that connection with the natural world?
It's like this fascinating paradox. And Olmec and Blockhill, they're living proof that it doesn't have to be one or the other.
We can have both. And who knows what we can achieve when we find that balance.
Well said. Olmec Sinclair, thanks for reminding us that sustainability isn't just about the what. It's about the how and the why. And that sometimes the most unexpected paths can lead us to amazing places.
Couldn't agree more.
And on that note, we're wrapping up another deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep those connections strong, folks.